Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
yes, we did. We started to burn many things we found. This is Harvey Wasserman. We're back with the Solartopia Power and Wellness Show. We're going to be talking to Jill Mangano today about the true health situation at various nukes around the world, and with Jerry Brown, who's been a co-researcher, the PhD director of the Safe Energy Project of the World Business Academy out there in California, a couple of really solid guests. I've been working with Joe Mangano for decades now about the health impacts of atomic radiation. Before we get into nukes, I want to say that this is the remind you that this week is the 25th anniversary of the Exxon Valdez spill up in Alaska, Prince William Sound. There's some excellent articles about it now out on the internet. One at Truth Dig by my buddy Greg Powis, great journalist, investigative journalist. Highly recommend you take a look at it. Greg talks about the role that BP, British Petroleum, played in the Exxon Valdez spill. As it turns out, and we know this thanks to Greg's brilliant research, BP was really responsible for monitoring the many of the safety aspects that were supposed to have minimized the problems with the BP spill. I mean, I'm sorry, with the Exxon Valdez spill in Alaska, and really failed not to defend Exxon in any way, shape, or form. But British Petroleum was actually responsible for having booms available, other equipment, other boats, and personnel that should have, could have, and should have vastly minimized the damage that was done by the Exxon Valdez. This is 25 years ago this week. And we're now seeing in this reports are widespread that the findings from the studies of the animals in and around Prince William Sound, the target or the unfortunate victim of the Exxon Valdez spill, the wildlife in the area has been far more deeply and permanently impacted than we've been told. There's one study out there that shows that the embryo, or I guess the larva, or the eggs of the fish in the area have been harmed to a much greater extent, continue to be harmed to a much greater extent to the point than we believe, to the point that their hearts have been affected. And of course, you don't usually think of fish having heart problems, but certainly they can. And there are parallel findings in the Gulf of Mexico among tuna and dolphins and other fish there from the BP spill of 2010. So these are not happy findings. I have posted links at nukefree.org, nukefree.org, in the green section about the petroleum problems, the spills of the Exxon Valdez. Again, Greg Powis, excellent article at Truth Dig, and other sources confirming long-term damage to the fish and other wildlife from the Exxon Valdez spill. These and from the Gulf of Mexico, these have not gone away. If anything, they persist, and we have serious impacts from these spills on the wildlife in both areas, in Alaska and in the Gulf of Mexico. So take a look. It's not fun reading. I will have a piece up in the next day or two linking ecological damage from Fukushima and Chernobyl to the ecological damage from Valdez, the Gulf spill, the Keystone Pipeline, and so on. It's about time that people who work on global warming face the realities of nuclear power, and vice versa on global warming, the people who work on nuclear power. I've never met anybody in the anti-nuclear movement, the no-nukes movement, who advocates the use of more fossil fuels. And these articles and the one I'm writing, which should be up today or tomorrow, should make it clear how the two are related. Okay, we have two great guests with us today. My old buddy Joe Mangano speaking us to us from, are you in New York City, Joe?
No, I'm in New Jersey, Harvey. You're close.
New Jersey. Wow, what the heck. That's all the same. And and Joe has done a tremendous research and writing over the decades on the health impacts of atomic radiation, specifically Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, Fukushima, and the ongoing operations at nuclear plants, which we're going to talk about today, especially at Diablo Canyon, where I spent three lovely nights in the San Luis Obispo County Jail back in 1984. And we're also joined by Jerry Brown, Dr. Jerry Brown, director of the Safe Energy Project at the World Business Academy. Jerry, what town are you in?
I'm in Santa Barbara, California.
Well,
south of
you.
Just about 90 miles from the Diablo Canyon nuclear reactor.
And 90 miles from downtown Los Angeles. So you get to choose one way or the other. Choose your poison. And what is the World Business Academy?
The World Business Academy is a network of business thinkers, leading thinkers in different areas of business who want to bring a progressive and environmentally sound view into the Business Academy. Energy-related fellows of the Academy include Emery Lovins, everyone's energy guru, Lester Brown, original founder of the World Watch Institute, Hazel Henderson, among others. So for many years we have been a think tank, writer of many articles on progressive paradigms in the business community. Worldbusiness.org, you can find this at worldbusiness.org. But the Safe Energy Project is our first attempt to move into both legal and political activism on the nuclear issue, with our main agenda being close down Diablo Canyon, close down San Onofre, which closed back in June of 2013, and move California to 100% renewables within the next 10 years. That's our overarching objectives for the Safe Energy Project.
Well, that's a small agenda. I think you should be able to accomplish that pretty quickly. Joe, describe the work you do, if you would, a bit, and we'll just jump in here.
Yeah, it's research and education, Harvey. Those are our two mandates. We were founded in 1989. We first of all, conduct studies, and we publish them in medical journals. We've done 32 of them on the on items like cancer rates and disease rates and death rates near nuclear plants. And rather than let them sit and just collect dust in the library somewhere, we educate the public about them. We do press conferences and put information on websites and now social media and so on to inform people about the true dangers of nuclear reactors, which no one else is doing, by the way. No other United States group does this kind of work.
Okay, so now you two have teamed up, Joe and Jerry, and you've released a study on the health impacts of Diablo Canyon. Diablo Canyon is two very large reactors sitting on the ocean about 8 or 9 miles due west of San Luis Obispo, California, which is about halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And the San Onofre reactors are halfway between Los Angeles and San Diego. And thankfully, we have forced them to stop operations, although they do have tons and tons and tons of high-level radioactive waste that needs to be dealt with. But Joe and Jerry, you have conducted a study on the health impacts of these two at Diablo Canyon, which are on an earthquake or in an earthquake area, let's put it that way, and in a tsunami zone. So tell us about this Fukushima of California, how it's impacted human health in the central California area.
Well, just as a context for this, we at the World Business Academy wanted to look at the health effects of the normal routine releases of radiation that the EPA permits and the NRC allows. It says they're permissible, and we don't believe that permissible is safe. So we wanted to find a distinguished researcher with a great track record in radiation and health studies, and Joe Mangano, with three books in the area and over 30 peer-reviewed journal articles in medical and scientific journals on radiation and health, just stood out as the person to conduct this study. And one of the things Joe found early on was they provide zip code data in California, which became a very good analytical tool. And Joe, can you maybe explain why that is?
Sure. Typically, when we do studies like this, we have only county-level data. That's the smallest level. But the state of California makes available statistics on diseases and deaths by zip code area, which is much smaller. Like San Luis Obispo County has 19 of them. I want to add, too, and this is context as well, the World Business Academy called for the study because no other study existed. Very, very basic questions, Harvey, such as what are cancer rates like near the Diablo Canyon plant? Nobody knows. What are infant death rates like near the plant? Nobody knows. What are birth defects rates like near the nobody knows. The studies simply are just not done by nuclear regulators and by health departments. They just continue to allow them to keep their license and keep operating without any idea of what the health consequences might be. So this is really a pioneering study that we
To underscore that, Harvey, to underscore that, this is Jerry Brown speaking. We had several independent nuclear experts and medical doctors review the study and comment on it. And the comment of Dave Lockbaum, the director of the Nuclear Safety Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists, was quite informative and astonishing and totally confirms what Joe is saying. Dave Lockbaum wrote, "I asked the NRC why they had not addressed potential human health consequences." And David Lockbaum asked the NRC this back when they started relicensing plants. He continues, "I will never forget and never understand their answer. Human health was outside the scope of their assessments. I commend the World Business Academy's efforts to get human health issues back inside the scope." Hello?
Yeah. Jerry, you're breaking up on me. Are you in
I'm on a landline.
All right, you should be okay. Repeat then what you said, please, because I couldn't hear it.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I asked the NRC why they had not addressed potential human health consequences. I will never forget and never understand their answer. Human health was outside the scope of their assessments.
But corporate profits are certainly part of the deal. How long did you conduct this study? How did you conduct this study? And give us a synopsis, really, of your findings, please.
Well, it took several months to finish. It was released, I think, 3 weeks ago now.
Well, what was the date that it was released?
That was March 3rd.
March
3rd of 2014.
Yep, 3 weeks ago
okay.
Yesterday. Here's what we came. There were a number of findings, but here are the major ones. Number one, we found that the county, the San Luis Obispo County, which traditionally had relatively low cancer rates, incidence and mortality compared to the state, is now a high cancer county, all right? Over the years and during the time that Diablo Canyon has operated, there has been a switch. As a matter of fact, the cancer incidence rate in San Luis Obispo County is the highest of the 20 counties in the southern half of California, which make up like 70% of the population, like it's almost 30 million people. It,
And this is a rural area of San Luis Obispo County.
Generally, it's just under 300,000 people. But, there still are 1,400 cancer cases a year. So we're talking about a lot of extra cancer. In fact, we calculated 783 extra cancer cases in the last 10 years in just the county alone.
And the Diablo Canyon opened in 1984 or 1985, is that correct? The two
84
reactors?
84 and 5 is correct, yes.
Okay, because I was arrested there in 1984.
Yes.
And we were just before the operation, they opened up operations there. So I assume the plant, after they figured out that they had installed the reactor pressure vessel backwards and got that straightened out, they opened it. Did both reactors open in 85 or just one?
84 and 85.
Okay. All right. So two very large reactors in a rural county, which before the reactors came in, you're telling us, had a very low cancer rate. Now it has a high cancer rate.
That is right.
Okay.
And of course, there are many reasons, factors that can cause cancer. However, we have clues that Diablo Canyon may well be one of the reasons. For example, the cancers that are most sensitive to radiation, thyroid cancer, breast cancer, had significant increases. Another one is that we also looked at within the county of San Luis Obispo, the zip codes, the 9 zip codes closest to the plant. There were much higher increases in babies born at a low birth weight and also in mortality from all causes, like 45% increases on each of them in the last 20 years.
So 45%?
These are hints that, that Diablo Canyon is around. And remember, San Luis Obispo County is really not a high-risk county, okay? It's more educated. It's got fewer minorities. It's got a lower poverty rate. More people speak English than the rest of California. So we really should be seeing low rates, but yet that is not happening. So a red flag should go up here. We need to find out more about this.
You recorded a 45% increase in cancers around Diablo Canyon since the opening of the reactors?
In low-weight births, in the 9 zip codes closest to Diablo Canyon from the late 1980s until the last several years.
And what makes you think these might be related to the nuclear reactors?
We know while every human is harmed by radiation, the ones that really are most sensitive are the fetus and the infants, okay? What about something like low birth weights? A baby that's born at a low weight, usually premature and usually with problems to several of their organs. Something happened during the fetal period. It could be many things, but certainly you have to put radiation exposure as number one on the list.
And do we know? Do we have records from the from Diablo Canyon from the owner, which is Pacific Gas and Electric, or from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission about reliable numbers about how much radiation was released?
That's in the study too. Each utility that runs nuclear plants is required by law to take annual measurements of how much radiation gets released into the environment. And make it publicly available. We looked at some of these. It's not comprehensive. It's only several of the types of radiation that are released. But in general, it looks like Diablo Canyon released more than the average U.S. reactor. We know for one type of radiation, tritium, emitted in liquid form, it's got the highest release of any U.S. nuclear power plant over the last 5 years.
And the tritium, is it released as a gas or a liquid?
Yeah, tritium is a gas, and it easily is absorbed into water. And like the other 100-plus chemicals in nuclear power plants, it's radioactive. When it's released, it gets into the food chain and enters the human body.
And what's the half-life of tritium?
Tritium has a half-life of 13 years, which means it sticks around for about 130 years.
The thing I'd like to just add to this is that many people, obviously the big focus is on Fukushima and the major accidents that have happened. What many people do not realize is that the NRC allows these reactors to periodically and routinely release liquid and airborne effluents of radioactivity. Some of these include cobalt, cesium-137, zirconium, tritium, which was mentioned, radioactive iodine, strontium-90, and the list is quite long. All of these products are radioactive and carcinogenic. So what we're discussing here is the accumulation in the air, in the soil, in the water, taken up into the food supply, going into mother's milk, affecting the fetus, the accumulation long-term over time of what are called low dosage, as opposed to bomb explosions, of ionizing radiation.
Well, we're talking with Joe Mangano and Jerry Brown about studies done of the health effects around two nuclear reactors at San Luis Obispo, California, which opened in the mid-1980s. Are you saying that your, let's put this as simply as possible. Are you saying, Joe and Jerry, that the study you have done definitively shows that radiation from Diablo Canyon has been killing people in central Pennsylvania, there was a Freudian slip, central Pennsylvania, from Three Mile Island, in central California?
Not definitively, but I think the report has raised a lot of red flags, a lot of areas of concern. It is, put it this way, we have generated a correlation between the opening of Diablo Canyon and higher rates of cancer and other diseases. We have not quite made a causation yet. However, we encourage, you know, vigorous follow-up studies by health officials and to explain these unusually high rates, and these studies must include more analysis of Diablo Canyon and the poisons it is emitted into the environments and what it's done. I'll throw in one more finding to which should give these other people a head start. About a decade ago, our group conducted the only study ever looking at radiation in bodies of Americans living near nuclear plants. This was a study of nearly 5,000 baby teeth. And we collected the teeth and sent them to a lab where we tested them for one of these 100-plus chemicals, only found in atom bombs and nuclear reactors. The chemical is called strontium-90. I think Jerry mentioned it earlier. We found a couple of things near San Luis Obispo County. The average strontium-90 was 31% higher than the rest of California, and we found also that from the late 80s to the late 90s, the average jumped 50%. So in other words, it's higher near the plant, and as time goes on and the reactor operates more and gets older and more corroded and leakier, the amounts released appear to be getting higher. So that is a clue towards causation.
Let me cite one of the medical doctors, Harvey, who reviewed this study, a medical doctor here in Santa Barbara, at the hospital here in Santa Barbara, and his conclusion was that exposure to radiation, and I'm quoting, is well known to result in an increased risk of developing cancer. Until an alternative plausible explanation is provided, the overwhelming logical conclusion must be that the exposure to radiation as a direct consequence of living within a 15-mile radius of Diablo Canyon results in an increased risk of developing cancer, and that's Dr. Stephen Jose. Now, this has a long history. Strontium-90, the body interprets it as calcium, so it's taken it into the bones and the teeth, and that's why Joe's group was able to do the baby teeth study, is a marker for the 100 other radioactive products that are released in a fission reaction. Way back in the Cold War, strontium-90 was going up, 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 and there was a first baby tooth study done by the University of Washington in St. Louis. Strontium-90 was going up, up, up. Childhood cancer was going up, up, up. Childhood leukemia was going up, up. This was published in Science magazine. President Kennedy used this research of the first baby teeth study to convince a reluctant U.S. Senate to sign the historic Nuclear Test Ban Treaty of 1963, which prevented all and banned all above ground and underwater nuclear testing. Strontium 90 goes down, down, down. Nuclear age, first reactor 1957, Pennsylvania, expands dramatically throughout the 1970s, and the Radiation and Public Health Project conducted the second baby teeth study, and all of a sudden we see the strontium 90 levels going up, up, up again, projected to reach bomb test levels of 1963 by 2013. In other words, you could conclude that the impact of the expansion of 100 nuclear power plants remaining today in operation has undermined all of the health effects of the historic Nuclear Test Ban Treaty.
Whoa, that's serious stuff. So we got about 3 minutes and we're going to take a short break. What other studies? Well, first of all, Joe, you have said, let's do it this way. You've said that you've conducted more than 30 peer-reviewed studies. How does your study at Diablo Canyon fit into the context of the other studies you've done of health effects of atomic radiation near nuclear power plants?
Yeah, we've done a number of studies, and each one comes out a little bit different, Harvey, because many things can contribute to diseases and deaths, such as cancer, not just radiation. However, I would say in most cases, virtually all, we have seen increases in total cancer rates, in radiation-sensitive cancer rates like thyroid and breast, and also in diseases of the fetus and the infant, such as low weight births, infant deaths, and childhood cancers.
And these are at other nuclear plants, not nuclear reactors. Can you name some of the other reactors where you've done parallel studies?
We've done reports, and I can tick them off, Palisades in Michigan, Browns Ferry in Alabama, Columbia Generating Station in Washington. Oh, boy, there's more.
You've done Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania, haven't you?
Yeah, we did that one as well, actually, and found not just in the immediate county or two, but in the counties downwind of it, we found increases in infant deaths in the year after the meltdown in 1979. So yeah, there's a generally consistent pattern of when you add radiation to the environment and you put it in people's bodies, you're going to see higher rates of diseases.
Have you followed the impacts of closing these reactors? Have you done any studies post-shutdown that would give an indication of what happens once the reactor shuts?
We have, and we're continuing to do so. About a decade ago, we did studies showing that near 8 closed nuclear plants, which were at least 70 miles away from any other nuclear plant. So the shutdown created essentially a nuclear-free zone. We found that near 8 out of 8, the infant death rate plunged immediately in the first 2 years after shutdown, much faster than the rest of the state or the country. We also found that cancers in young children 4 and under, plunged in those first 2 years. And then last year we published a study looking at one of these plants called Rancho Seco, which is in Sacramento, California.
I have been there. That's the only nuclear reactor I've ever been inside.
Well, it's no longer operating since 1989. And in the first 20 years afterwards, we found that there was a much more rapid decline in local cancer in Sacramento County than in the state of California. Our estimate was because of this extra speedy decline, there were about 4,300 fewer cancer cases in the county over 20 years.
Wow. So okay, that's very significant stuff. We're talking with Jerry Brown and Joe Mangano. They are partners in the very important study that's been done about of the health effects around Diablo Canyon nuclear reactors in San Luis Obispo, California. We're going to take a short break here for about 3 minutes. We'll hear Dana Lyons sing the Rocky Top version of the Soultopia song, and we'll come back for more of this extremely important discussion. Stay with us.
Coal plants, new plants, oil refineries, pipelines, mega dams. Iran, Iraq, Russia, Nigeria, Venezuela, Kurdistan. Suburbia, mudslide, traffic jam. Road rage, asthma, famine, leukemia. It's time to get a better plan. Soultopia is home sweet home to me. Soultopia, that's the future for me. Green powered energy.
All right, that's Dana Lyons, my good buddy, Cows with Guns. Over 2 million views on Cows with Guns. It's become the anthem of the vegan movement, one of the great songs and great cartoons of our time. Dana's a terrific guy and a wonderful singer. We are with two heavyweights here in the radiation research field, Joe Mangano, MPH, of the Radiation Health Research Project, and Joe, what is the name of your project formally?
Yeah, Radiation and Public Health Project, also known as www.radiation.org.
And Dr. Jerry Brown, the director of the Safe Energy Project of the World Business Academy in Santa Barbara. Jerry, I'm sure you'll be glad to know that here in Columbus, Ohio, it is now snowing. It's not snowing in Santa Barbara, is it? I guess he couldn't handle the question. Jerry Brown, are you still with us? Okay, Joe, let's proceed.
I'm here, Harvey.
Oh, you are? Okay, I guess
yes,
we're still bored by it.
No snow, but we wish it would rain.
Yes, I don't blame you for that. Well, you did have some a while ago. So before we proceed, I want to ask Joe Mangano two very quick questions. Joe, you've done some studies on the health impacts in the United States after Fukushima. Is there evidence that people in the United States have been harmed by fallout from Fukushima?
Yes, there is. And once again, we stand alone as the only U.S. group to publish in medical journals actual statistics on diseases and deaths before and after Fukushima. In 2012, we started with total deaths. Estimated total deaths in the first 4 months after Fukushima, and we estimated we saw that the numbers bumped up, you know, in the 4 months after the plume, you know, the airborne cloud of radiation arrived in the U.S. and got into our food chain and bodies. And this 14,000 estimate is quite similar to what we found in the 4 months after Chernobyl in 1986. I think the number was 15,000, between 15 and 16,000. That was one. Any day now there will be official final statistics on deaths, and even though we took some criticism for that, I am eager to see how close we came. Our estimate is to the actual excess. The other thing we did is we published two papers last year on the increase in hypothyroidism in newborns. This is a condition where the baby is born with an underactive thyroid, and the baby needs to go on thyroid hormone treatment for the rest of their life in order to avoid physical and mental problems. We found about close to a 20% increase in the three West Coast states and Alaska and Hawaii, which are the areas hardest hit in the U.S. by Fukushima. Not nearly as badly as near the Fukushima plant, but certainly quite a bit higher than normal. We have more articles coming on other birth defects. We start with the newborns because they are the most susceptible to radiation harm. But
of course, those are those people out there who say they're contest this idea that there's no safe dose of radiation. Obviously, haven't read the studies by Dr. Alice Stewart dating back to 1956 when she showed that a single X-ray to a pregnant woman could double the childhood and leukemia rates among the offspring. And, of course, finally, after 30 years, we did stop X-raying pregnant women, at least by and large. Second question, Joe Mangano, and then we'll get to Jerry and more on Fukushima, on Diablo Canyon here. The nuclear industry still steadfastly contends that no one died at Three Mile Island. What do you think of that statement?
It's a slogan. And in response to that slogan, I have data and statistics and evidence, and so do others. Number one, this was a study published in 1990 by a group at Columbia University. And they found that in the first 5 years after Three Mile Island, within 10 miles of the meltdown.
Now that's March 28th, 1979.
That's right.
So you're going from 79 to 84.
Actually, it's 75 to 79 versus 81 to 85.
Okay, very
good. This is in the American Journal of Public Health. They found a 64% increase in number of cancers from 1,700 and change to 2,800 and change. However, they concluded that this increase had nothing to do with radiation. They attributed it probably to the stress.
I think Penn State had a lot of losing seasons. So, that probably did it. They never made it to the final 16 or something like that. So
that's an example. Another example is what I mentioned earlier in 2004. I wrote an article for the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientist, and I looked at the infant mortality changes in the 2 years before and 2 years after Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania counties. In most counties in the state, the infant death rates went down, which is generally what has happened in our modern society. But in most of the counties, not just Dauphin County, where the reactors were, but to the east and to the northeast, where the plume of radiation went, most of the counties saw an increase in infant deaths. The numbers were in the hundreds. They were statistically significant. This is something, once again, that those who pass off a slogan such as "No one died at Three Mile Island" also are too lazy to actually examine this information before they make such a conclusion.
Well, I think lazy is actually a compliment in this case because the situation is so corrupted. I will say that I went into central Pennsylvania the year after the accident. I wouldn't go during, thank God. And I interviewed, I spent a week or 10 days, it was the worst few days of my life, interviewing people who were dying from the radiation at Three Mile Island. And the industry was saying that a lot of it was because of psychological stress, but there were parallel findings among the farm animals in the area who were obviously reading the TV, reading newspapers and watching television. And this was confirmed by the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. So, I did want to get you on record, Joe Mangano. You have been over the decades if not the primary researcher on the health impacts of our nuclear power plants. So let me ask both you and Dr. Jerry Brown here, what has been the reaction to the publication of your findings of significant health problems relating to the Diablo Canyon nuclear plants. How has the media and the public reacted?
Well, the public here, especially in San Luis Obispo County, which is most affected, and one part of Joe's study, which was able to look at the zip code level, found that the cancer rates were highest, the infant health declined most dramatically in the 9 zip codes closest to the plant, within 15 miles of the plant or immediately downwind from the plant. So, for example, some of the local groups that have been battling Diablo Canyon, like the Mothers for Peace of San Luis Obispo, says that this study has confirmed what they have suspected during many decades of living in the shadow of the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant and working on this particular issue. So it gave them scientific confirmation what they and their neighbors had seen and expected, but this is the evidence. The media has reported the study, but they've also obviously quoted Pacific Gas and Electric and the Nuclear Energy Institute, which is the trade association, Washington, D.C.-based trade association of the nuclear industry. And Joe used the word slogans, and this is really remarkable and needs to be put into context. They've called Joe Mangano, a distinguished researcher, a fearmonger. They've called the science behind this, and remember, all of this data comes from publicly available Center for Disease Control records and California Cancer Registry records. So anybody with the knowledge or insight or motivation to find this data can go and do so. They've called it junk science. And this has historically been the tactic of the industry, of the nuclear industry, in the absence, one, of doing their own health studies or supporting independent health studies. Their tactic is doubt. Their product is doubt. Try to sow doubt on the researcher and on the data itself, because they do not have any compelling data. This is too important an issue. We're talking about the cancer epidemic in this country. We're talking about the health and lives of their workers and their customers to be dismissed through fifth grade type name calling. You don't get to do that on this issue and be credible. So this has been their reaction to dismiss the study out of hand.
And has anybody from PG&E, for example, compared living next to Diablo Canyon to eating a banana? That's their latest line about the radiation from Fukushima, is it's comparable to eating a banana. What is your plan now for future studies at Diablo Canyon? What are the groups in the area going to do about this? What do we think is going to be the outcome from the publication of this study?
Well, I don't think it's, one, the publication of the study, which is being shared with health officials in San Luis and Santa Barbara County, will be shared with health officials at the state of California level and into local and national congressional and California Assembly people. The study is an important part of the reasons why many groups have come together, both here in California, the World Business Academy, the San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace, the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, and at the national level, Union of Concerned Scientists and the Friends of the Earth, to say we need to close this plant. It is not only the health issue, which is compelling enough, it's the seismic risk of Diablo Canyon, which sits on 13 significant earthquake faults and was not designed to withstand the kind of ground motion that these earthquakes, potential earthquakes, could produce. In other words, this nuclear power plant is illegal. It is not in compliance with its operating license, and on that basis alone, the Union of Concerned Scientists concluded should be closed out. There is also destruction of marine life through the intake of 2.5 billion gallons of water a day to cool that plant, and there are also the economic issues. And finally, the California Independent System Operator has concluded in its most recent transmission report, Diablo Canyon is not essential to electric reliability in the state of California. So for all of these reasons, this plant represents the potential for a Fukushima-like accident, which would devastate agriculture in California, and not to mention what it would do to the population and economy. And therefore, our plan is to be part of a campaign to try to close the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant well before the end of its operating license.
And when is the end of the operating license?
That's 2024-25. 2024 and 25 is when the license would end.
And what are the prospects for shutting these two reactors? You know, Diablo Canyon, of all the reactors in the United States, Diablo Canyon, the two there, are the ones that would most affect the entire country because they're on the West Coast. They're in the center part of the American West Coast. God forbid, a major Fukushima disaster there with airborne radiation. That radiation, first of all, would wipe out the Central Valley where we get 90% of our vegetables in the rest of the country in the winter, and then would proceed to cover the whole country. So what are the prospects for shutting these two reactors?
Well, I would say that they have increased dramatically since the closure of the San Onofre nuclear plant in June of 2013. Many groups came together to work on this fatally flawed plant that had emitted radiation. Senator Barbara Boxer wrote the Nuclear Regulatory Commission along with then Congressman Ed Markey saying, and I paraphrase, if you let this plant restart and radiate my constituency again, there's going to be hell to pay. And she sits on the oversight of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in the Senate. So the fact that this plant could close, the fact that Edison, the operator, saw that it was not economical to continue, the fact that there were no brownouts or blackouts when this 2,200 megawatts went offline in January of 2012 and has never produced another electron of electricity since then, all of those show that, one, these plants can be closed here in California, and number two, they will not have any harmful impact on rates or on the reliability of the electrical supply. So we are optimistic, given that in addition to the San Onofre risks, we have the tremendous earthquake risk that Diablo Canyon poses. The Union of Concerned Scientists has concluded from its analysis that there is a 1 in 6 chance of a major earthquake at Diablo Canyon in every year that this plant continues operating.
Well, that's kind of so. 6 years from now, there's 100%. There's according to that, there would be 100% chance of a devastating earthquake within the next 6 years, right?
I don't think the analysis, the multiplication, works that way. But I encourage people to look at the Union of Concerned Scientists website at their report of November 2013 seismic shift on Diablo Canyon, and all of these details and analysis is provided there. But it's a huge risk. It's a huge risk. It is one of the most at-risk plants in the world for earthquake faults. It sits on major faults. There were 3 significant faults discovered in recent years, and the plant is not designed to withstand the level of ground motion that could occur. So, and it's in a historic tsunami zone. So you have the risk of a Fukushima-like accident. In addition, only 1/3 of the fuel rods there are in dry cask storage, the only things that really survived Fukushima. So you also have 2/3 of the fuel rods at Diablo Canyon, which are in highly vulnerable underwater storage pools, which were a tremendous and continue to be an ongoing problem. As you know very well, Harvey, you've been at the forefront of what's going on in Fukushima, are one of the major ongoing problems of Fukushima.
How high up in the air are the Diablo Canyon reactors?
They sit about 80 feet above ground, so they're a little higher than the Fukushima were.
Yeah, Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about this. We're getting down, unfortunately, we're running out of time here. I want to real quickly, I get asked this a lot, both of you, Joe and Jerry, what do we expect the impacts to be of the radioactive cesium and other isotopes that are expected to arrive in the water from Fukushima along the California coast this summer? What are we saying, or what are you saying about what people should, what kind of precautions people should take about going to the beach and eating fish?
Well, as you said, Harvey, the radiation from Fukushima, first of all, the airborne radiation got here within 5 days, got to the West Coast within 5 days of the meltdown 3 years ago. But in addition, a lot of the radiation gushed into and continues to gush into the Pacific Ocean and has moved steadily across till now it's beginning to reach the West Coast. In this radiation are the many of the 100-plus chemicals we only find in nuclear reactors and atomic bomb tests. All of them cause cancer. All of them harm humans, and they will present themselves in the food chain, okay? They are in the fish. They are in, plants that get their water, from the Pacific Ocean and its tributaries. So it is. I think it's critical that, at very least, monitoring, good, strong, extensive monitoring be done about how much radiation is in all food products from the West Coast.
What about actually going to the beach?
What about going to the beach? The beach has radiation in it. I mean, the sea has radiation. It's as simple as that. Any ingestion of water, of course, would get in directly into the body and start causing harm. To the skin. If there's an open wound or scratch to the skin, radiation gets in the body that way as well. This is a great concern. I can't emphasize it enough.
Okay. We got less than 3 minutes. Jerry Brown, you want to – thank you for that, Joe Mangano. Anything real quickly, give us your website, Joe Mangano, real quick, sure. And where people can find you further research.
Sure. Please go to www.radiation.org. It's got all our articles, all our reports, and other information about what we've done over the last 20-plus years.
And let me say, Joe, that your work over the last 20 years has been absolutely invaluable, unique, and I hope you continue. You're a priceless asset to the future of the health of the world. Jerry Brown, I want to give you the last word here about Diablo Canyon and the work you're doing. Tell people how to get to your website and what we – you got 1 minute, please.
The website of the World Business Academy is www.worldbusiness.org, and you will find Joe Mangano's report and other newspaper articles and expert opinion on his report there, plus all of our other research and studies on this issue. I'd like to leave with this conclusion that this is the big lie that this low-level radiation and these small amounts are not harmful to people or can be dismissed with slogans. This is like the 30-year battle with the tobacco industry. We have known that radiation harms people since the birth of the nuclear age, and there have been significant studies that have documented this, including the National Academy of Sciences' Biological Effects of Ionizing Radiation report, saying there is absolutely no safe dose of exposure.
Jerry Brown, I know you're doing your best to shut down Diablo Canyon. I hope we'll call you next week and have you on to discuss how you got it shut down. We'll have you both back on the show. You're both great. Much appreciated. We have to sign away now. This has been the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. Another great hour with two excellent guests about the future of our non-nuclear world. Keep coming back to us. We will see you in Solartopia.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solar. Solotropia, Solotropia, Solotropia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solotropia all over God's green world?
Will we bid the